Welcome everyone to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys podcast, episode 435. We're up to the final film of the Riddick franchise. We're up to the third film called Riddick from 2013. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Nate Flix Reviews.
All right, Nate. So did you see this one in the theater?
I did. I actually saw this one in IMAX. So this one came out in IMAX. Okay. I saw it in the big IMAX theater with my cousin. Me and my cousin, we went to see this. That was the only time I saw it. I saw it at the theater and then I have it digital. And now I bought the 4K because I knew we were reviewing it. So I watched all of these in 4K. Pitch black to this. So, okay. But this was only my second time ever watching this movie.
Wow. I never seen this one. So I was like, okay, let's, I have the Blu-ray. I have the entire Blu-ray collection. So the only 4K one I have is the Chronicles of Riddick.
And you know what's crazy? This one looks
better.
I thought it looked even better than that one. Like the 4K is great. It looks great. Yeah. But they're visually different style. That one's way more CGI. Like this has a good amount, but like Chronicles is like, it looks fake, the whole thing. But it looks good. The 4K looked good. But this one looks good. But this was a Scream Factory. The first two were Arrow.
Okay. Well, let's get right into it. Financially, $38 million budget. Wow. So it dropped from the second one. Worldwide, $98 million. So it was a hit, but not much. So it's like a semi-hit.
Minor. Yeah.
Yeah, semi-hit.
Minor hit and probably did pretty good on video. We already talked about it last time. These movies do really good on Blu-ray and DVD sales. So because they're talking about a fourth one or they've already working on it or whatever, the studio
started filming. Yeah.
The studio Universal must have been happy enough that, you know, but it's a very minor hit. But that budget is crazy. Like, okay, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I know we're not reviewing the movie yet, but there are parts that don't look like they cost, you know, they look a little cheap. But there's also part, like, I think they made that budget stretch. $38 million is low. That's like, well, modern day, you know, ain't that funny? $38 million, that's nothing. $38 million for a movie is not that much. And there are parts in this that look really great for that budget. So smart on them to not put another $150 million into it because then they would have lost money.
They would have lost a lot of money. Yeah. They would have lost a lot more money in the long run. But what did the critics and audience think of part three?
All right. Well, we got a huge jump in one category and then a minor dip in another one. Mm. So lately, I'd like to start with the audience scores here. We'll do that again. Audience score, this is actually minus 9% from Chronicles of Riddick. This has a 56% audience score. So it's still over 50. All three of these were over 50. However, all three of them went down, down, down. So Pitch Black was the highest. Then Chronicles was like 12% less than that. And this is 9% less than that. So 56. However, the audience score is a huge jump from Chronicles. Plus 30% back up to 58%. So Pitch Black was in this ballpark, if I remember correctly. And then Chronicles was in the 20s. And then this one's at 58%. So the critics enjoyed the first and third the most. Audiences liked each one less.
I'm not shocked, but yeah, those are kind of interesting numbers at the end. I mean, they still near each other, but
yeah, 58 and 56. Like this one is like almost even across the board between audiences and critics.
Yeah,
like,
so I guess they both agreed on the film, semi-agreed on what they think of the film. So yeah. All right, so let's get right into it.
Yeah.
Richard B. Riddick is back for the final film, well, semi-final film. As lead character, what do you think?
Richard Beulah Riddick. He's back.
Bruno.
Richard Bruno. I still don't like that. I don't like that it's Bruno, but that's okay. You know what, Alex? I liked him in this movie. I haven't seen this in, when you say it came out, 2013? Yeah. I haven't seen the movie in 12 years. 12 year ago me, I don't know what he thought, but current age me, I liked him. I liked him in this movie. I think this is so in Pitch Black, he was part of an ensemble. You know, he was the main, like kind of the main guy, but it was part of like there's a crew and all this kind of stuff. In the second movie, he's the sole lead, but like we were kind of like, you know, like, I don't know. I don't really love this. Here, the movie opens. It almost felt like a Western at the beginning. Dusty place by himself. And I like that it goes through what happened after the last movie when he became the king of the necromongers, you know. Carl Urban pops back up. He basically gets tricked into thinking he's going to his home planet, which he hasn't been to since he was like a little kid or whatever. They send him to some garbage planet that's just like a terrible place. And they leave him there for dead, pretty much. And from there, he has to kind of build himself back up, right? He's all injured. His leg is all broken. build himself up. Then they show him with the little dog who he raises. Then he has to, you know, he's trying to get to a certain spot, but he has to get past this creature thing. I like all that because it shows him that's called character building. You know, like you take a person, you put him in a spot, you see how they work it out and all this stuff. I liked it. Fast forward a little bit. These mercenaries, he puts a beacon out. Mercenaries come to pick him up. And they're like, one group wants to kill him. The other group wants to talk to him. And we'll talk about that more in villains. And then he almost becomes like a freaking, he almost becomes like Michael Myers, which was cool. You know, like they don't show him as much, but he's like picking him off, creeping around, being suspicious. I think they were smart to not make him full on evil during that part. You know what I mean? Like he pretty much is like, look, let's make a deal. I'll take this ship. Y'all take that ship. We leave each other alone. And they're like, you know them. We can't do that. We gotta kill you. We gotta get you. Whatever. So I like them. I gave him a 4. It's still not a 5. But I think the character in this movie is the best he's been in this franchise. For me, I thought he was most interesting.
I totally agree with you. I think I liked him more in this movie than the first two films. That's just me. I think he had more personality in this one than the others. I did like the survival thing that he kept taking the venom because he knew that, you know, the animal that he has to fight has this type of venom. So he had to strengthen his body with the venom of the creature. I thought that was pretty cool, but then I liked it and it became a bigger
there was like an even bigger one.
Yeah, that was a bigger one. So I was like, oh, he did not jack himself up for that one. So I thought that was pretty cool. I like him raising the dog. I thought that was pretty interesting the way he did it. I thought there were funny moments between him and that CGI creature that felt pretty cool. The scene that he opens up the ration and it's nasty. Yeah. And he throws his dog food and he pissed all over it and he threw dirt. And he goes, all right, go get the reserve. Then you see him pull that big meat.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty, like, again, that it's small, but it was pretty cool banter between the two. Again, I'm not a big Vin Diesel fan in terms of acting, but I thought this one, I thought he got better in the acting between 1 and 2. I thought he still corny, but but then again, that's not his fault. It's the script writing on it. I thought the people that come in, the mercenaries, both of them, I thought they were pretty good. I know most of them are going to be villains, but there's some of them that were pretty cool, like Kate Sackhoff, I think that's her name is. Yeah, she plays Bo-Katan in Star Wars. She's pretty cool. She was gorgeous in here too. She was hot. She's known for that type of character, that type-ish.
Yeah, she was on Battlestar Galactica and she was in The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
So,
she's famous for Bo-Katan. Yeah, she's a tough chick as a Mandalorian. But yeah, I thought they were fun. I thought it was pretty cool. There was a scene I thought it was pretty interesting and I liked, and I agree with you in terms of the whole stealthy thing. I liked because it felt funny, and I don't know if they tried to make it funny, is when they were like, we gotta look for him. He could be anywhere. He's on top of the ship eating. Yeah. Like the camera pans up and it looks so like a comic book. It's just like, he's just there chilling, and they were like, he could be anywhere. And he's just like chewing on food. I thought that was cool. And then when he caught the other guy, and the guy was like, oh, panicky. He was like, I saw him. Like he made him into like this big glorified guy, but he's just a normal dude with night vision in his eyes. Yeah. So I thought it was cool. And then I don't know if you call him the bad guy, but the guy who he has the one-on-one because his son
John
was he's the one. So the son, you could clarify, his son is the one that
Cole Hauser from the first movie.
Oh, the one with the eye drops in the eye?
The one that they fight when he wanted to kill the kid. He was like, let's sacrifice the kid and get out of here.
That's his son. Okay. Makes sense. All right. Yeah, I agree. I gave him a 4. I thought he was really good in this movie. Okay, main villain.
Okay, so we have, like you mentioned, you have the mercenaries, and they're not all evil, but technically for the purpose of this movie, they are the antagonists, right? Because we're rooting for Riddick. So in the end, ultimately, Johns ends up being a pretty stand-up character, which I liked. I actually liked that guy. I liked that. You know, him kind of being like, look, I want some answers about my son. You know, you killed him. And then as it goes, like, I love how Riddick just gives him little bits, but then stops. He'll be like, he'll say something and he'll be like, it's going to rain outside. He's like, just tell me what I want to know. And then he's like, there's monsters out there. And then, but like, as it goes, he finally gives him, you know, your son was addicted to drugs, bro. He tried to kill a kid. Like he's, you know, he's like, that's not the man I knew. He's like, well, you didn't know your son. I was like, damn, you didn't know your son. You should have been a better dad. But I liked it, right? And ultimately, he's not like, he ends up saving him, like going back to get him with the ship. And even when they leave, they have like a kind of moment where it's like, all right, respect, you go, and I'm going to go this way, whatever. So really, the main villain ultimately is the other guy, played by Jordy Mola. He is like super over the top. Like, I'm going to put his head in a box. I'm going to get him. And then he turns out to kind of suck. Like, he's not, like, all his guys get killed pretty easily. They get in, like, monster traps and stuff. He has Batista on his team. We got an early, like a kind of early role for Batista. This was before he like was in a lot of movies. He's bad. I thought they were okay. Honestly, I just thought they were okay. I liked the other group better. I liked the one with the dad, with Katie Sackhoff, and with Bokeem Woodbine. I love that guy, the black guy. His scene was funny where he's like, he goes behind the little thing and he puts the knife. He's like, are they scared of me? He's like, yeah, man, they're scared of you. And then he's sitting in the chair. He leaves him in the chair and then whatever. I like that group better than the other one because the other one is just like, you know, we're going to kill it. Except for the kid who's always doing like prayers and stuff like that. I gave them a 3. I gave them a three. And then I mixed in the creatures because they're also bad. But there's just like, they're all the same. They're all that thing that was in the water. I wish they were different. I wish it was like similar to the pitch black one. Like I wish it was those again or something, you know, like, but they fly and they're an afterthought. So but I did give them a 3. I do love, well, I'll save that for action. I gave it a 3.
All right. So yeah, when it comes to these villains and stuff, I mostly focused on the creatures than the humans, but it's kind of the same thing. I do agree. This is a 3. They're good. The creatures, the problem that I have with the creatures is that they don't do nothing special besides have venom. Smaller ones have deadlier venom. When we saw the little one bit the other guy, he died. But other than that, it's pretty much, again, it's another Starship Troopers type of character. Now, I will say this, visually, it looked way better than Pitch Black. I mean, they look way better. Like for a $38 million budget, these creatures look way better enhanced, yes. Like destroyed Pitch Black in that sense. The good thing is it didn't have senses. Like they didn't show their vision. Only Riddick has the purple eye, which again, they changed his color vision again from white to purple.
His eyes look cool in this movie though.
It looked way better. Yeah, it did. But I mean the vision, like when he looks like the through.
Predator vision.
Yeah, it was now purple and white instead of white. So I was just like, could it be his vision changes due to different planets? Like it sees different, the lighting? Maybe, who knows? But I was just like, okay, it's purple. But I agree. I was not too crazy with it. Like when he said, oh, the storm is coming, and I was like, oh man, I kind of figured out that they were going to be in the storm. And I thought it was going to be more deadlier, more animals, but it was kind of the same, like in the dirt. Like, I thought it was going to be more chaos than what it was. I think it's rated R.
This is rated R, yeah, very rated R.
Yeah, so it wasn't as rated R as you would have known for, like, this type of movie. Like, Starship Troopers was straight up rated R, like, blood everywhere, body parts. This one, I mean, they showed a lot of stuff, but I felt like it was just a little watered down for me as a rated R with the creatures. Turning to the villains, I agree. I did like more of the characters with Kate Sackhoff's character. I like them. Batista was okay. Again, another actor that got way better acting. But I'll say this though. His acting, even in this movie, was good. Like he was good. I think he just got better the older he got.
Agree.
But again, I don't think he's still way better than John Cena and The Rock in this stage of his career. I think he was way better. But in terms of like his good acting, I think it just got better the older he got. But he was good though. I liked him. He fit the role of that. And he literally looked like the guy from Gears of War, Marcus, whatever his name is.
He was huge in this movie.
Yeah, I don't understand why they still couldn't film it with this guy at this time because he looks exactly like that character. And they could have made a fortune out of that franchise. But yeah, the main villain guy now, the dude from Bad Boys 2, I think it is, right? He's Diego?
Yeah, I think that is him.
Yeah, right? Yeah, he's Diego. Oh, you're right. He is so over the top. He's like, listen to me, Riddick. I have a box here to put your head in. And then when he goes and confronts him, he's like, oh, that was for show. I didn't say I was going to do that.
Everyone has a box.
Yeah.
That's what he says. Everyone has a box. What the heck?
My favorite part, he goes, I know everyone that knows everyone that knows everyone. If you need something, I know someone I can get. And I was just like, okay, a very over-the-top character. But again, the chick beats him up, like every punches him in the face 100 times.
Yeah.
So... yeah, and I love the mind game that he played with them with the bot to get them to open up the safe. He was like fair trade, so it made it look like he went in it when he didn't go in it. So I was just like, so he made you guys open it up. Yep. He was like so psychological warfare. So he's like so good at that. But anyway, I agree. I gave it a 3. I thought they were good. I don't think they were great at all. You know, it's funny. This franchise with villains are not good. I don't know if you agree with me in that sense. Like, they're not formidable at all. They're not good.
Yeah, and you also had that at the beginning. Vanko and then the ugly guy, right? Yeah. Like they betray him, but they're in it for barely. I feel like there could have been a cool story there too, you know, as far as like continuing that.
Yeah.
But I see why they did what they did and I think it works. But yeah, you're right. Like the villains are not the strongest aspect of these movies.
Yeah, they're not.
They're there, but they're okay. Like, they're not horrible, but they're not like, there's no like Riddick versus this awesome guy. Yeah. It's more like Riddick versus these guys. These guys. They're fine.
This low grade middle.
Yeah, and Scorpion
characters. Monsters. Yeah, pretty much. All right, action scenes.
All right, I don't know if we'll be different here. I actually like the action in this movie. I thought it was good. I thought it looked good. That's why when you said the budget, I was surprised. I didn't look up the budget or anything. You know, all I look up is the Rotten Tomatoes scores. I let you do that other stuff. Unless it's one that I'm hosting, then sometimes I'll get some like fun facts. But I didn't know it was so low. I think this movie looks great. For $38 million. And I like the action scenes. I like the creature fights. Yeah, they're not like, design wise, they're cool. You know, they look better than Pitch Black for sure. But I like some of the stuff. There's one visual that I thought looked awesome at the end when the ship comes back and is like shooting them from above. And yeah. they're like bursting green. Like it looked really cool because it's dark and you have these pops of green blood spraying everywhere. That was cool. I like Riddick's whole training thing of like you were talking about with the Venom where he's trying to like build up to fighting this thing. It was cool, the little standoff. It's not super long, but it was very well done. Like the fight when he's like chops the head off and then the bigger one comes out. That was fun. You get a Batista and him get a fight in here. Pretty good. Like short, but solid. I like the motorcycle, you know, bike things that they have. But the reason this, all right, this is what I was saving for here. I gave it a 4. I gave the action a 4. I thought it looked good. It was well executed, but I still had it at a 3 until my man kicks the knife into the guy's head and then his head gets chopped like here. And I don't know why. I don't remember that part happening at all. But like, I love like, okay, the machete hits the ceiling. And it's like Final Destination. And then it falls on his knee, right?
Yeah.
Then he pops it up and he kicks the hell out of it. It chops the guy's face in half. And I wrote 4 after that. I was like, all right, you know what? That was pretty good. Also, he chops, I think it was it Batista that gets chopped in the shoulder? Yes. And it gets like, yeah, that was pretty gnarly too. So I gave it a 4. I thought it was good. It was bloody. It was fun. And I was into it more than in the other movies. That's for sure. Like Chronicles of Riddick has way more action, but it's so like, kind of boring. I was never bored with the action here. I was into it. So I gave it a 4.
So, you know, it's funny. I agree with you in everything you said. Like when I was watching this movie, I already had a 3 on it. I was just like, this, it had, and you could testify because you saw the same movie as me. We saw the director's cut. Like we saw the unrated, whatever cut it's called. And you could agree. The first 40 minutes, there's no action. It's him training. He fights the thing, which is not really technically a fight, but he chops the head off of that monster. Then he fights the other one where he slides like the action slide with the dog, CGI dog, cuts the stomach. Yeah, yeah. Just like a Resident Evil type move, right? And then he goes in and you're like, wow, that's a pretty cool scene. Other than that, there is nothing there because the mercenaries come, they all talk and they're trying to get him and all this. So it's like a lot of minutes passing by with no action. Towards the end, once the rainstorm kicks in, that is when pretty much the action starts to ramp up a little bit. Then it starts to ramp up. So like, I agree with you. When the action does kick in, I prefer this type of action towards the end more than the franchise, like Pitch Black, which had nothing towards the end. And then I agree with you. The second movie did have the bigger budget, the more action sequences, but the action sequences was just so bland and dry. It was just like, this is the same shit. That's why we gave it low scores. Where this one, I do give it as kudos because they try to do something new and different. And it does feel like those Helldiver games, like with Helldiver 2. It has like that feel to it, that Starship Troopers feel to it. You know, like all those type of movies, like Tremors and all that shit that you know, everyone likes. Those cult classic films that are low budget but look
monster movies,
mag gooey effects that it pops, and you know, yeah, it has that, and I give it kudos for that. And they had guns that had lasers and like, and I was
someone's like, got their head cool. Blown off in this movie,
yeah,
it pops right off. I was like, okay,
it felt very like an independent video game. That's what I could say. It doesn't look like a Ubisoft high quality. It looked like one of those like independent video game like sessions that you and your friend play, like a Helldivers. And I thought it was cool. They had a lot of cool moments in the movie, but again, it lacks something. It just needed a little bit more. And I think it's the creature's fault because they didn't have much creatures. And I agree with you. At the end, it was more, but it was just him with no weapons. And he's trying to escape and he's hitting them with his fist and kicking them off a mountain until the ship comes. And I know it's the redeeming for the character and his son. And I agree, that scene was pretty good. But and then he found the other guy, right, that betrayed him. He found the ship and then, you know, he stabs him in the neck or something. They didn't show the kill, but right. You heard it. I thought it was good. I gave it a 4.2. I thought it was great. I don't think it was perfect. And again, this franchise, it's weird because it lacks in action villains. It has a good premise and story, which yes. We're going to talk about right now. And I just think the outer shell to make a good story is just lacking in this guy's writing. But with that said, all right, let's get into a storyline.
Yeah, I gave it a 4. I thought it was, I'm surprised. I know that I've seen Pitch Black way more than this movie.
Yeah.
And that would always be the one I said I preferred. But you know what? After watching this one, I might like this one better. Like, I thought the story was really good. Like I said, it has classic sort of Western motifs in it. You know, the lone guy on his own, group of people come into his town. We could call that little thing the town. And they want to kill him. And it's, you know, these are classic kind of tropes, but done in a sci-fi movie. With right. like monsters added in. And I think that this, to me, feels like a culmination of what the director, because David Twohy wrote and directed all of these, it's the same guy. So this one felt like the one that was like where he was kind of trying to get the whole time, if that makes sense. You mm-hmm. know, like Pitch Black, a very creative endeavor, low budget, you know what I mean? And he did what he could. Visually very cool, interesting characters. Chronicles felt like a misstep. And I think the studio was like, we're going to give you all this money. And it was too big for its britches. Whereas here, it finally feels like the kind of what he wanted to do. A monster movie with a cool character, with other characters that are interesting, action thrown in, nothing too, it's a smaller scale. And I do, like I said, I like the beginning where I'm glad that they showed what happened with the Necromonger thing. And instead of just like leaving it out and being like, you know what? He's on this planet now. Don't worry about it. No, they acknowledge it. He was the king. He had 4 naked chicks. He was just like banging them. And then they try to betray him. And then he's like, he kills her. He tells Carl Urban, he's like, look, what are you going to try to do? And he's like, I know your home planet. I know. He gets tricked a little bit because he wants to go there so bad. And then they never mention him again till the way end, which I liked. I like how he takes the ship and he goes back to visit the ugly guy. He's like, hey, man, remember that one time when you tried to leave me on that planet to die? So I felt like a complete circle from this franchise. It wrapped it up as a trilogy, but left the door open for something else. I gave it a 4. I actually thought it was very good.
Well, this is where I guess we're going to be different. Yeah. I gave it a 3. I thought it was good. It was better than the other ones. It way better than Chronicles of Riddick. Chronicles of Riddick was garbage.
Yeah, it was.
That was really garbage. For a high budget movie, it's garbage. And again, it shows you with a lower budget movie, you could do tell a way better story. So that's that. But in terms of this movie, I was a little bored at sometimes throughout the movie. Now, it is just me. I'm not too crazy with this franchise. Like even watching it now, the third one, I'm not too crazy with it. Like I don't like the character. I think he's a cool, creative character. If it goes in the hands of someone that could tell a really good story, maybe could be something. I don't know if the newest movie is written again by the same guy who wrote these three.
It is. Yeah.
Oh, then we
same writer director. This is his kind of project, I guess. Yeah.
I will say this though. In this movie, they show the title of part 4, the Furia.
Yeah, that's the planet he comes from.
Yeah, so that's on the it was in the cave when they you saw it written. I was like, oh, okay, there goes part 4. The title is there. So I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, in terms of the story, I was like, I wasn't too crazy. I will agree with you on this. This one is better than 1 and 2 as a nutshell. But I don't know. I can't see myself like maybe on sale buying it. I go, okay, you know what? I could see this one again, which I could, but spending full price for this movie, I don't think I would. I don't think I'm too keen to this franchise. Now, Vin Diesel did get better each movie in terms of acting, but the storyline in this one was just a generic, you kill my son, why you kill my son, and now we're going to join forces at the end when he realized his son was a douche at the end. And then, you know, you got the other guys that betrayed him and now he's after them, or if that's the story that they're going to go with. Kurt Urban come back, but I doubt it. Urban is now a big actor.
Transcended.
He literally transcended his career because he's a big actor.
I don't know what transcendent means in this movie, but he did it.
Yeah, he did. So I'm like, but that's what they talked about in the second movie. The girl was telling him, that he needs to transcend. Yeah, but
I don't remember. I don't know anything that was going on in that movie. It was all like gobbledygook. I don't know what they were talking about. Yeah. I don't know what. So I don't know what it means, but he did it. That's good for him.
All right. So I gave it a 3. You gave it a 4. All right, sorry, overall.
Yeah, overall, I liked this one, Alex. I don't know. I gave it a 4. I was into it. I think this one might now be my favorite of the three. Pitch Black will always have a soft spot just because I saw it when I was a teenager and I've seen it, like, you know, it's one of those movies, like, the nostalgia carries it because it's fine. Like, it's not amazing. It's fine. And I don't think this is amazing either, but I do think it's really good. I actually, for a lower budget sci-fi movie, because $38 million is lower budget, especially nowadays, I think you could do way worse than this. And I don't know how many are way better at that price. You know what I mean? Like, at that amount. Maybe there are some that I'm... well, I don't know the budget of every movie, but for a B... this is a B movie. Let's be real. It's a B movie. It's a sci-fi, alien, you know, creature feature movie. I think it is one of the better ones in recent memory. I quite enjoyed it on this rewatch. I will say... so yes, I gave it a 4. I will say, interesting, there was some controversy with this movie. Now, the version you watched... probably had it because you watched it on Blu-ray. There's a scene at the end, and this is minor, but I'm gonna tell you why it's weird. There's a scene at the end when they're going to pick him up from that mountain, and Katie Sackhoff's character comes down on a rope, and she hooks him up, and she picks him up, and they're going, and she's like, she says something kind of flirty to him, and then he like squeezes her butt as they're going up on the rope. That has been edited out on the 4K, him squeezing her butt. Like, now they get on the rope, she says the flirty line, and then it fades to black. A lot of people are very upset because it was removed from both the theatrical cut and the director's cut. So people are like, well, then this is not the theatrical cut. If you have a scene that was in the movie in the theater and you just took it out, then just call it the director. If you want to take it out of the director's cut, that's fine. But so it raised a lot of questions, which is weird for a movie like Riddick to be the one that raises it, but raised a lot of questions on like censorship and like directors going back and taking stuff out of movies. Cause, you know, we hear it all the time. I know this is a little bit of a rant, but it's still interesting. We hear it all the time. I own it on physical. They can't change it. They can't. Well, you know what? They sure can change it when they put it out on 4K and they remove stuff. I do think it's weird that it removed it because it is a character moment where earlier in the film, she basically says she's a lesbian. And by the end of the film, it seemed like she was kind of down to do some stuff with Riddick when she went to save him. And by taking it out, it kind of like nullifies that a little bit. So I don't know why he did it. I haven't really read anything about it, but I do think it's interesting that they took it out, and it raises some questions on, you know, that whole thing. But anyway, I gave it a 4. I thought it was a good movie.
Yeah, that's horrible. Yeah. For me, overall, I gave it a 3. I thought this is a good movie. It's way better than 1 and 2 in my eyes. If I have to, I mean, I own the whole trilogy on Blu-ray, but if I,
you should be fine with that.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. In terms of like, if I want to go back, I have the Blu-rays of it. But if I do want to upgrade, which I got Chronicles and I'm selling that. But other than,
same.
If I had to go pick one out of the three to get on a higher definition, would be Riddick. Other than that, I don't think I would need to upgrade at all. I think the Blu-rays were okay. Wasn't as crazy, as clear as like Den of Thieves or whatever.
Well, just know if you do upgrade this to 4K, no butt squeeze. It's out. It's gone.
Yeah, no, I want my butt squeezed.
It's like, it's literally like 2 seconds of footage.
Now, question.
They took it out.
Did they take out also her in the bathroom when she's like cleaning herself?
No, that's in there. You see
her boobs?
Oh, no. Okay. So they still have him creeping on her when she's in there, but they took out the butt squeeze. There was like super naked chicks in the beginning on the ship. Like,
yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
All the nudity is still in it, but that one little moment is taken out.
That's weird. That's a very weird thing.
I don't understand it, but.
Unless whatever. The editor of Arrow was just like, I don't like this.
No, maybe the director was like, maybe it seems like he's being a predator. But I'm like, dude, he was watching her clean herself off in the bathroom. And that was.
And he was talking to her dirty. Like, she's like,
yeah, he's talking about her nipples and stuff. And that was weird. I was like,
the same color of her toenails or what I think it was.
That's kind
of
a weird thing to say to somebody.
Your toenails is the same color as your nipples.
I didn't like that. Take that out. They should have took that out and leave the other part in.
That's like a pickup line for like dirty dudes.
Yeah, I would never try it. Don't try that at home, kids.
Don't try that at home to your future wife.
Yeah.
It will not work. Okay.
Total points, right?
Oh, total points. I'm sorry.
That's all right. 19 out of 25 for me.
Yeah, mine's is a 17 out of a 25. Okay. Again, it's the best score out of the three. So I did enjoy it. All right, Nate, what's coming up on the podcast?
Here we go. Next up, finishing up. Well, now that we're done with Riddick, we're also done with our themed month. This month was Chuck Norris movies. Code of Silence will be the next and final of the Chuck Norris films. So we're going to be talking that. And then new franchise time. You know me, I love when we start a new franchise. I don't know why it's so exciting to start a new franchise. And then when they're too long, it gets to like, man, I wish this was over. But this one is short. Like Riddick, I feel like we got through pretty easy. Yeah, this is going to be a quick and easy one as well. Three movies. We're going to be doing, finally, the G.I. Joe movies. So G.I. Joe, Rise of Cobra. G.I. Joe, the second, Retaliation.
Retaliate, yeah.
And then Snake Eyes, G.I. Joe Origins. We're going to do that one as well. So those are the only three live action G.I. Joe movies. We'll be reviewing those. We'll have a special guest for one of them. So that's what we got coming up.
You know, it's funny. Out of the G.I. Joes, I think I've seen all of them once. Across the board,
first two like multiple times.
Yeah, I seen all of them once, and I own them on 4K. I did buy them on 4K because they were like on. I think it was that Best Buy deal. Remember before they got closed? 4K. Like, so I brought them all, and I was like, "Yeah, do you know what they were on sales?"
Here you go. Fun fact: early on about these, the first one, directed by Stephen Sommers, of course, of The Mummy Returns. Van Helsing, he directed those movies. So we have him in the director's chair. And then in the second movie, this is weird, we have director John M. Chu. Now, if you don't know John Chu's name, just off the name, he directed, I kid you not, these are his directing credits. Get ready for this. G.I. Joe 2, as well as Step Up 2, The Streets, Crazy Rich Asians, In the Heights, and Wicked. The new Wicked movies. So he has gone from G.I. Well, he did a bunch of musical and dance movies and G.I. Joe Retaliation. And then I have no fun facts for Snake Eyes. I saw it once and I remember not liking it. So we'll see how this goes on a revisit. But John Chu.
I'm excited for those things because I like watching new stuff that I haven't seen
fun,
in ages.
At least. At minimum, I remember these being fun. It's kind of stupid, but pretty entertaining.
Well, let's see if it's actually fun. Or you might sell it to the bookstore.
I'm selling more movies.
You'll be selling a lot more for your new 2025 movies.
I'm ready.
All right, guys. You guys want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to youtube.com/actionmovieguys. Subscribe. Leave the comments on your favorite episodes. And, of course, you can follow us on Instagram and TikTok under Geeks, the letter N, Flix. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.